Okay, so welcome back to Shmuel Aleph with Perek Chaf. So at the very end of Perek Yutes last week, so you might remember, it's a very interesting end to the Perek, and Shaul comes to this place, Nayos, which is right outside of Ramah. Whole discussion in the Mefarshim, is it Ramah, is it not Ramah? And at the end, remember Shaul sends like a whole bunch of different messengers. And each group of messengers gets caught up in the nevuah, and they start being menabe, they start having nevuah, and at that point, Shaul himself says, "You know what? This is ridiculous. I'm just going to go myself." And Shaul himself goes, and he gets caught up in the nevuah. He gets caught up in the nevuah. The whole point is to get David, but you know, because that's where David is with Shmuel. But meanwhile, nothing is working because everybody keeps getting caught up in this. In this ruach of the nevuah, so Perek Chaf begins with pasuk aleph. Ayivrach David minayos barama, that David fled from Nayos, which is in Ramah. Again, Nayos, according to most mefarshim, seems to be a suburb of Ramah or right outside of Ramah, and Nayos was this place where the neviim gathered. Right, the neviim all gathered to get nevuah, to learn from Shmuel. That's where David was, and that's where you know everybody else came. And the Mefarshim say that he fled while Shaul was still having his nevuah. So Shaul is having his nevuah. And while this is happening, David flees Nayos. Vayomer lifnei Yehonasan, and he comes back and he runs home and he comes to Yonasan, right, Shaul's son. And he says to him, Me'osisi, ume'avoni, ume'chatosi, lifnei avicha. He says, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? How did I sin? What did I do? Before your father, kimivakeshes nafshi, your father wants to kill me. And why does your father want to kill me? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? The Malbim says, what did I do wrong to him personally? What did I do wrong against his malchus? Did I offend him personally in some way? Did I do something against the malchus in some way? What's happening? Pasuk Beis. Now this is interesting. Vayomer lo chalila. So Yonasan responds to David and says, Chas v'shalom, lo samus. No, you're not going to die. Hine lo yase avi davar gadol o davar katon velo yigla es ozni. My father would never do something, whether big or small, without telling me. And I didn't hear anything about this plan. Umadua yastir avi mimeni es hadavar hazeh einzos. Right? Why would my father hide this from me? There's no way. There's no way. So Yonasan denies it. He's incredulous. There's no way that my father wants to kill you. It's just not true.
Yonasan didn't know his father was looking for him. Look, he was trying to find David. He didn't know that he
okay, good. So the Radak jumps on this right away. The Radak asks, what's going on over here? Right? This is clearly not true. Everybody knows that Shaul was trying to kill David. Right? So what's Yonasan saying? That no, my father doesn't want to kill you. He would never do anything like that without telling me. So he offers a possibility. He offers a possibility that maybe Yonasan actually thought that Shaul really did not want to kill him. He didn't want to kill him. And in fact, we learned that Shaul took a shavua. If you remember in I think it was last parak, right, where Shaul took a shavua and he swore to Yonasan that he would not kill David. Now, what about all the attempts? Right, remember he tried to he threw the spear at him, did it twice. He sent the messengers to go get him from home. So what about all these attempted murders? What about all these attempts? So Yonasan thinks that these are only because of the ruach ra'a. Remember this ruach ra'a that grips Shaul, right? Whether it's depression or whatever it is, but this ruach ra'a that grips Shaul. So Yonasan thinks to himself, my father really does not want to kill David. It's just that whenever he snaps, whenever he gets this ruach ra, that's what causes him to act like this.
You want to be around a person like that?
No, of course not. Of course not.
I wouldn't want to go around.
Right.
Never know what else
now. Okay. But really, he thought that Shaul did not want to kill David. He didn't really want to kill him. It's just that like the ruach ra that's causing all of this. The pasuk gimel. By Yeshava O David Vayomer. Now David swears and he says, Yadoa Yoda Avicha, Ki matzasi chein be'einecha. He says, your father knows that you like me. Your father knows that you love me. We have a great relationship. Vayomer al yeda zos Yehonasan. And he says, I'll tell you why your father didn't tell you. Remember in the last pasuk, Yonasan said, well, my father would never do anything without letting me know. Says David, no, that's not true. Your father would do it without letting you know. Why? Because he knows how close we are. And he knows that if he would tell you that he wants to kill me, then what would happen? Penye Yotzev. You'll be sad. You'll be very sad, right? He wants to kill my best friend. The ulam chayashem v'chein afshecha ki chefesha beini uvein hamoves. And he says, I swear to you, right? Chayashem v'chein afshecha is the language of an oath. We'll see there's a lot of oaths and swearing being done in this parak. So he's swearing, he's taking an oath. Chayashem v'chein afshecha ki chefesha beini uvein hamoves. He says there was only one step between me and death. What's he referring to? He's referring to that time with the spear, right? Shoal through the spear. And literally, I ducked. If not for that one step, I would be dead. I would be dead. So that proves that Shoal does want to kill me. You can't tell me that he does not want to kill me. And you have an argument that Shoal, never said anything to me. And Shoal always tells me, he always tells me what he wants to do. I'll explain to you very well why he didn't tell you. Because we are friends, we're very close friends, and if he tells you, you're going to be sad, you're going to be upset that he wants to kill me. That's why he didn't tell you. Okay. Pasuk Dalid Vayomer Yehonasan El David, Matomar Nafshecha Ve'eselach. So Yonasan says to David, okay, listen, I hear what you're saying. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do, right? I hear what you're saying. I hear your argument. Tell me what you want me to do. So David says the following, Vayomer David el Yehonasan, Hinei Chodesh Machar, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And we know that we lay in this perek for the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. I mean, it's really the later Pesukim, I think. But this is the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. Hinei Chodesh Machar, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, says David to Yehonasan. V'anochi Yashov Eishev Ima Melech Le'echol. And I always sit with the king to eat. Right? That's what I always do. I always eat with the king. Right? David was one of the servants of the king. He played the harp for the king. He was an advisor to the king. So I always sit and eat with him. At the Seuda, apparently they had a big Rosh Chodesh Seuda, and everybody came. Vishilachtani v'nistarti v'asode ad ha'erev hashlishis. So David says, I'm not going to come. I'm not going to come to the Seuda. And instead, I'm going to hide. I'm going to go hide in the field until the third evening. Okay, until the third evening. Now he's saying, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, so I'm not going to be there tomorrow. I'm going to hide the following day also, which is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. The Mefarshim explained, it was clear there were 2 days Rosh Chodesh here. So I'm going to hide the second day of Rosh Chodesh also until the following evening. That's the Erev HaShlishis, is like the Motzoei Rosh Chodesh. Really, it's really 2 nights from when he's talking. It's not really three, but it's the third day, meaning today's day one, Rosh Chodesh day two, and second day, Rosh Chodesh day three. So that evening, that's what we're talking about. Now, he's going to notice that I'm not there because it's Rosh Chodesh. Everybody else is there. They made it like a Sudas Yantiv. Everybody else was there. So he'll notice that I'm not there. Now, the Malbim says here that David, the reason what David was saying here also was not just, he wasn't just telling Yonasan of his plan, but he was actually asking Yonasan for permission to go. Why was he asking him for permission? Because David says, I always eat with Shaul. If I don't show up, so then what's Shaul going to say? I'm morid b'malchus. I'm rebelling against the king. Because I'm supposed to be there at the Seuda. I didn't come. I didn't get permission from Shaul to skip the Seuda. So I'm morid b'malchus. I'm rebelling against the king. And I'm going to be chayv misa. So he says, listen, do me a favor. Grant me permission not to go to the Seuda. Because if you grant me permission, and even if I'm challenged by Shaul, I can always say, I asked Yonasan. Yonasan gave me permission. Again, Yonasan might get thrown under the bus for that. But he said, at least I won't be considered rebelling. I won't be considered a Morin B'malchus. Yeah.
Isn't he already on the run?
Hold on 1 second.
Isn't he already on the run? From Shaul.
Well, yes. He is already on the run.
That's what Yonasan knows, he left his father.
Right.
And everybody else, his wife knows.
Right.
Time ago. Right. Shaul came looking for him. He's not there.
Right.
So now he's going to go back. He expects, Shaul expects him to come back for the meal.
That's a good question. Why would Shaul expect him to be back if he already fled? He already ran away. Right? Shaul sent the guards to his house and Michal let him go and he ran to Noyos and then Shaul came. That's a good question. That's a good question. You know, why would he think that he's going to come back? I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe. But the only thing I could think of is that maybe, maybe he would assume that, okay, listen, he ran away for the time being, but he's not going to skip the Rosh Chodesh Suda. You know, maybe if the Rosh Chodesh Suda was something very significant that everybody came to, Shaul would expect that he would return for that. I don't know. That's a good question. Okay. So this is his plan. He says, I'm going to hide out. And here's what I want you to do, says David. Pasuk Vav. Im pakod yifkedeni avicha ve'amarta nishol nishal mimeni David larutz beis lechem iro. If he asks for me, im pakod yifkedeni avicha, right? If he remembers me, meaning if he notices my absence and he asks for me and he says, hey, Yonasan, you know, where's David? I see David's not here. Where is he? So this is what you should tell him. V'amarta, this is what you should tell him. Nishol nishal mimeni David larutz beis lechem iro. David asked me permission to run back home to his hometown, that's Beis Lechem. Why? Ki zevach hayomim shom l'chol ha-mishpacha. Because we have a family gathering. A family gathering, we do it the Mefarshim say we do it every year. Ki zevach hayomim, yomim here refers to a year's time. So every year we do this family gathering. We bring karbanos, you know, we have suda together. So it's what we always do. It's a family get-together. So if he notices my absence and he asks, you just tell him that David asked me permission to go home for this family gathering. Now, it's interesting that the Mitzudas David says that, you know, he thinks to himself, Shaul may not notice my absence on the first day because the first day of Rosh Chodesh, I'm not there. Okay, you know, so I'm not there. You know, maybe there's a fluke, maybe something's wrong. I'm not feeling well, whatever the case is. But once I'm not there the second day also, so then for sure he's going to notice, right? Then for sure he's going to notice. So I think the Mitzvah David is picking up on the double language in Pakod Yifkedeni, right? The double language of remembering. Why the double language? Because really it's going to happen. He says it's likely going to happen on the second day. The first day he may not notice, but the second day for sure he's going to notice that I'm gone and he'll ask. And this is what you should tell him. Now, again, this is not really true, right? You know, generally we say Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You should try to always tell the truth. But we know Chazal tell us that for purposes of shalom, a person is permitted to stretch the truth sometimes or to not be completely 100% honest. So I think this case certainly qualifies as, for the sake of shalom. You know, he didn't want to die. And, so he's trying to save his own skin. You know, why didn't he ask the king himself? You know, maybe Shaul will be upset. Hey, you know, you asked Yonasan for permission. You didn't ask me. I'm the king. So you'll tell him, I was in a big rush, Larutz, says the Malbim. You know, that's why he says, Larutz, Beis Lechem Yirov. He was in a big rush. He was in a haste to get out and back to his family gathering. And that's why he didn't have time to ask you. He saw me, so he asked me for permission. Now, so now you should gauge Shaul's response in the following way. Pasuk Zayin. Im ko yomar, tov, so Pasha Pshat with this is that im ko yomar tov. If Shaul is happy with the response and he says, oh, okay, you know, David went to his family gathering, like, you know, that's nice, and he's fine with it. So then, shalom le'avdecha. So then I'll know that he's at peace with me and he doesn't want to kill me anymore. However, v'im charo yecherelo, but if he gets furious when he hears that I'm not there because I went to a family gathering, if he gets angry with me, then da ki chol sahara me'imo. So then I'll know that everything is completely evil with him. Right? It ends with evil. It's completely evil. And there's nothing to talk about. He's going to want to kill me. And then I have to go. I have to run. And that's how we're going to test this. If he says nothing, good. So the Malbim says that there are really four options here. Right? There are really four options. So one option two options, really. If he asks for me, he notices my absence, he asks for me, and then he either reacts positively or negatively, right? Either he's happy with it, or he's furious, or he's angry. So those two are clear, right? If he asks and he's happy, so then he's at peace with me. If he asks and he's upset, right? So then we know he wants to kill me. What if he doesn't ask? Or what if he asks, but he reacts kind of parv, neither positively nor negatively? So then, says the Malbim, then we're still not going to be sure where he's holding. If he doesn't ask for me, we don't know. Does he want me dead or is he at peace with me? And if he asks and Yonasan gives this excuse and Shaul doesn't really react in a positive or a negative fashion, so then again, the same thing. We don't really know where he's holding. You know, we don't really know what he's thinking. So these will be important also. These will be important for later. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. I'm sorry. We just read Zayin. Pasuk Ches. V'asisa chesed al avdecha. And he asks Yonasan, please do chesed with me. Right? Do chesed with me. Be kind to me. Meaning, make sure you come back and give me the information that I need, right, to determine if Shaul wants to kill me or he's at peace with me, and help me out. Why? Because if you remember, we made a bris, we made a covenant. It's a bris Hashem. Hashem was witness to the bris, to the covenant that we made with each other. And if I did something wrong, right, you'll tell me. If I did something wrong, then you kill me. If I deserve to be killed because I did something wrong, I sinned, then you kill me. Why should I wait and be killed by your father? If you think I did something wrong, kill me now. And if I did not do anything wrong, so then please do chesed with me. Help me out here, right? Give me the information that I'm looking for. Help me out. And says the Malbim, he's saying, help me out. Do chesed with me, really for three reasons. Number one, because it's a chesed, right? You always should do chesed. Number two, we made a covenant. We made a bris. And number three, I did nothing wrong. So those are three reasons why you should help me. And says the Mitzudas David, if you don't help me, then really you're going to have a hand in my death also. If you don't help me out and Shaul ends up killing me, it's going to be partially blood on your hands as well.
So he said, if I'm guilty of doing something against the king, what is he the guilty?
Yeah.
Does he say, if you find out from Shaul that I
did? Meaning if you think that I did something wrong to your father, so you kill me. Right? I mean, David obviously thinks he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But that's how he's expressing it to Yonasan. He's saying, Yonasan, if you think I did something wrong, kill me now. Right? Why wait for your father? You obviously don't think I did anything wrong, and that's why you're not killing me. Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Yonasan, Chalila Lach. He says, no, Chalila. Absolutely, if anything happens, right, if I find that information, I will certainly tell you. Right? If I find out that my father really is upset, that he's angry, that he wants to kill you, do you think I wouldn't come and tell you? Of course I'll come and tell you. Of course I'm going to help you out. Right? Chalila, chas v'shalom, that I would ignore the chesed and the bris. Chas v'shalom, of course I would come and tell you right away. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer David el Yehonasan. Mi agid li, o ma yancha avicha kasha. So says the Malbim, what does this mean? Mi agid li. Number one, who's going to tell me the information? Why? You can't just send a messenger to me. Because if you send a messenger to me, then people will find out that I'm hiding. They're going to find out where I'm hiding, and they're going to come kill me. Right? What, you think the messengers, you know, have tight lips? The messenger might say something. Right? So mi agid li, you can't send a messenger to me to inform me of what your father's thinking. And furthermore, O mayancha avicha kasha, tell me, how are you going to judge what would be a harsh response by your father? You might think a harsh response is only if he says he wants to kill me. But I think that even if he's a little bit angry with me, that's already considered a harsh response. So tell me, meaning, you know, you're going to give the information to me, but what's your scale? What's your rubric? What scale are you using to determine if your father's response is harsh and he's upset and he wants to kill me or not? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Yehona son El David, L'chav v'netzei asadeh. Let's go out to the field. Let's talk out in the field. Vayetzu shneim asadeh. Says the Malbim. Why? Because, you know, if you're not out in the open, anybody can hear. The walls have ears, right? That's what they say. The walls have ears, right? So somebody might be eavesdropping. Somebody might overhear. Somebody might, you know, be trying to overhear. So let's go out to the field where we can be sure no one else is around, and let's have this conversation. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer Yehonasan El David. So Yehonasan says to David out in the field, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And again, this is the language of an oath. He's swearing by Hashem's name. Ki ech kores avi ka'es machar hashlishis. I will try to figure out from my father, not tomorrow, but the third day, meaning today's day one, Rosh Chodesh day two, and then the second day of Rosh Chodesh is day three. If by then he doesn't ask for you, I will inquire. I'll bring it up and I'll try to figure out from my father where he's holding and what he thinks of you. Vihine tov el David, velo oz eshlach elecha, vigolisi es oznecha. So the Radak understands this very simply, that if there is good news, vihine tov el David, right? If there's good news, meaning if Shaul is at peace with you, velo oz eshlach elecha, vigilisi es oznecha, will I not go and tell you? Of course I'm going to tell you. If there's good news, of course I'll let you know. Now, the Malbim says as follows, interestingly. The Malbim says that the Hine Tovel David, that if Shaul responds positively, if he responds with love and with peace, that he's at peace with you, so then Oz Eshlach Elecha, then I'll send a messenger. Remember, David asked before, how are you going to get the message to me? You can't send the messenger. They're going to find out where I am and they're going to talk. So says Yonasan, yeah, but if my father is positive, if he's at peace with you, if he loves you, so then I can send the messenger. Because then you're not at risk, right? No one's. It doesn't matter if people find out where you are, because he's at peace with you, right? So then vigilisi esos necha. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So okay, we're getting there. Hold on. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Koyase Hashem liyonasan v'chol Yosef. Now this is also the language of a swear that if I don't follow through with this, Hashem should punish me. Koyase. Someone asked, why do they swear so easily? It's a good question. You know, nowadays we're very careful about not swearing. In those days, they were not as careful and they swore. We find in the Torah many times you find a shavua. And even in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, you have cases of people take a shavua and based in and all sorts of things like that. In those days, I think if they were 100% certain that they were telling the truth, so they felt confident swearing. And they were fine with it. You know, nowadays, we're not so comfortable because, you know, we're probably not 100% accurate. We're probably not understanding things 100%, or maybe we're not 100% telling the truth. You know, we're a little bit extra careful with how we speak. People speak very quickly these days, you know, without thinking through too much. People say that all the time. Today, people say, I swear to God, right? People say that all the time. But the Jews, we don't say that. We don't swear. We affirm. You know, we don't even in court, we only affirm and we don't like to swear. But in those days, they were perhaps more careful with the way that they spoke. And that's why they were more comfortable and more confident, swearing.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I understand why, but isn't there something wrong with Jonathan going behind his father's back and doing this? You're doing bad to your father?
Again, it's a tricky situation because, Yonasan recognizes that there's something off here. And again, whether Yonasan understood 100% that Shaul wanted to kill him, or he just thought that it was due to the Ruach Ra, but Yonasan knew that something was off here, right? Something was off. And there were definitely times when Shaul had tried to kill David. So I think he figures, listen, I got to help this guy. My father's trying to kill him, you know, whether he really is, you know, hates him and is intending to kill him, whether it's only because of the Ruach Ra, but he's trying to kill him. I got to help him out. And even if it means going behind his back, you know, so be it. You know, there's sometimes you got to do that kind of thing. If it's something that's necessary. Listen, you know, we find obviously the most prominent example in the Chumash is when Rivka convinces Yaakov to fool, you know, Yitzchak into getting the brachos. So you could ask the same question. How could he do such a thing? You know, fooling his father Yitzchak, going behind his back. And again, the answer is that when it's something that Rivka, and she had Ruach HaKodesh, obviously, but something that Rivka felt was so important and so significant, and there was no other way to do it, so sometimes you got to do something like that. You know, again, we try to avoid it at all costs, but sometimes, you know, with desperate times, call for desperate measures. Someone just sent me on the chat that if your father asks you to do something wrong, isn't it allowed? Yes. So it's interesting. I'm teaching the halachos of Kibud Avaim in SKA these days. So one of the things we were talking about is, you know, what happens in a situation of a parent telling you to do something wrong, telling you to violate the Torah, telling you not to forgive someone, you know, telling you not to study Torah, telling you not to marry someone. You know, there are a lot of interesting cases in the Shulchan Aruch about it. But yes, in short, if a parent tells you to do something wrong, you know, there's no mitzvah of kibud av aim in that case, right? Because you and the parent are obligated to honor Hashem. So in this case where he recognized that Shaul was doing something wrong, again, whether it was intentional or it was just the Ruach Ra, but either way, he was doing something wrong. So he felt that it was warranted to try to help David, even if it meant going a little bit behind Shaul's back or a lot of bit behind Shaul's back and fooling him. Okay. So Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ko Yaseh Hashem Liyahonosav V'choyosif. So again, it's a language of an oath, of a shvua. Ki Yetiv El Avi Es Hara'a Alecha. That if it's good for my father, meaning if it's good in my father's eyes to do evil to you, right, to kill you, to harm you in some way, v'galisi es oznecha, I will tell you as well, v'shilachticha, and then I'll send you away, v'halachta l'shalom, and you'll be able to run away, to flee in peace, v'hi Hashem imach kasher haya im avi, and Hashem will be with you, just like he was with my father. So many of the Mefarshim say that what he's saying here is that if Shaul responds in the negative fashion, if Shaul responds with hatred, if Shaul responds with a desire to kill David, so then says Yonasan, I'm going to tell you that as well, but that I'm not going to send a messenger, because then you're right. If I send a messenger, maybe the messenger will you know, he'll find out where you are. He might tell someone, you'll be at risk. So I will come myself, the Galisia Saznecha, I'll come myself to tell you the bad news. And then I'm going to send you off on your way. As difficult as it is, I'm going to send you off on your way in peace. And then he ends with a bracha, v'hi Hashem imach kasher haya imavi. Yonasan knows that David is going to one day be the king. And he says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with my father and allowed him to be the king, I know that Hashem will be with you and allow you to be the king as well. The Malbim says one interesting piece here. And he says, how is Yonasan planning to test Shaul? He's going to talk negatively about David to Shaul. He's going to come to Shaul and he's going to speak negatively about David. And he's going to try to see how Shaul reacts. If Shaul reacts positively to the negative speech about David, then he knows Shaul hates David. But if he doesn't react positively, or if he says, hey, why are you talking about David like that? So then he'll know that he's at peace with him and he loves him. Okay. Pasuk Yudalad. Velo im odeni chai. And now Yonasan begins to plead with David for his own life, for his own safety, and for that of his family. Velo imo deni chai, meaning that if you become king, right? Because I know you're going to become king one day. One day when you become king, if I'm still alive, velo sase imodi chesed Hashem velo amus. Please make a bris, make a covenant with me that your chesed will not end. You'll continue to do chesed with me, okay? And says the Malbim, you won't kill me. Apparently the practice was in those days that if someone else would take over as king, he would kill and execute the entire family of the previous king. Right? Meaning if he conquered, if he took over, you know, a coup, if he violently captured the Malchus, he would kill all the descendants. So Yonasan says, please do a chesed with me. If you take over, when you take over as king, don't kill me, even though I'm Shaul's son, and don't kill my family, right? Don't kill my descendants. Because if you do, then Hashem should no longer be with you. Then Hashem should no longer be with you. Yeah.
What is that? You just said it was common practice to kill up the descendants.
That's what it seems, yeah.
But we didn't have a king yet. He was the first king.
Correct, but I guess among the goyim that's what they did. So he was worried that maybe David's gonna borrow the same practice.
The second thing is, didn't they make the covenant before? They said there was a bris before them before, just like David said.
There was a bris before.
Because it's the right thing to do. And the second thing, the Malvin brought was because he made a bris.
Right. But I think that bris, the bris that we were referring to earlier, was a different bris. This is a bris specifically that when you become king, don't kill me and don't kill my family, right? So this is a different level bris. The first bris, I think, was just, you know, like, I'll help you, you'll help me, like, you know, we'll have a nice coexisting relationship. But this bris is a very specific bris that you're not going to kill me and you're not going to kill my family. Okay. Tesvav, and now he discusses his family. Velo sachris eschastecha me'im besi ad olam. And he says, please do not prevent your chesed from protecting my family forever. And even though Hashem will help you conquer all of your enemies, right? He knows that Hashem is going to appoint David as king. He's going to help David conquer all of his enemies. And he says, part of your enemies include Shaul. Your enemies include my family. But please stop there. Right? Please stop there. Please, you know, if you have to, it sounds like almost he's saying, if you have to kill Shaul, you have to kill Shaul, which is like an astounding thing for a son to say. But that's what it seems like he's saying. If you have to kill other members of my family, okay, so be it. I understand. Right? They're your enemies and they're trying to kill you. But please don't kill me. Please don't kill my family, my descendants, because we're at peace with you. Pasuk Teznayin, Vayichros Yehonasan in Beis David. And not only did Yonasan make a bris with David, but he also made the bris with base David, right? The Malbim says that he turned around and he made a bris with David's entire family, with Michal and with Yishai and with David's sons. He made a bris with all of these people. Or maybe it was Yishai's sons, not clear exactly who the Malbim is referring to. And again, the bris is that after David flees, right? He made a bris, as the Malbim says, he made a bris that he will save them from Shaul even after David flees, right? So after David leaves, David's no longer going to be able to protect his family. So he says, I'll make a bris that I'll protect you, but you also make a bris that you'll protect me. So they're making this bris, they're making this covenant. You protect me, I'll protect you. You protect my family, I'll protect your family. And this way we will get along and no one will die. Pasuk Yud Zayin. By Yosef, Yonasan lahashpia as David. Yonasan continued to make David swear. Yonasan swore until now. He says, "I want you to swear the same thing." Be ahavoso oso, and this was out of love. Ki ahavas nafsho ahevo, because we know that he loved him in ahavas nafsho, in ahavas nefesh. He loved him. The love came. It was a deep love from his soul, and therefore, says the Malbim, he felt that this oath that he was making was coming from his nefesh. This wasn't just stam, a promise that he was making. It wasn't just his word. This was something really deep and really binding, coming from the nefesh, because that's the place of love, and I'm doing this out of love. So he took it very seriously. Vayomer lo Yehonasan, and Yehonasan said to David, Machar chodesh v'nifkarta ki yipaked moshavecha. He says, okay, let's start to implement this plan. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. My father is going to notice that you're not there. And again, whether he'll notice on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, second day of Rosh Chodesh, at some point he's going to notice. And if not, as he said earlier, I'll investigate and I'll ask him. Pasuk Yates, Vishilashta Tereid Me'od. He says, I want you to divide the field in three. And every day, go deeper and deeper into the field. Today, go into hiding. Tomorrow, go a little bit deeper into the forest, a little bit deeper into hiding. And the third day, finally, a little bit deeper. And you'll get to the place that you're going to be hiding. Biyom Hamaseh. There's a whole question in the Mefarshim here. What's the Yom Hamaseh? Is the Yom Hamaseh the day that I'm going to have this conversation with Shaul? Is Yom Hamaseh referring to today? Question exactly in the Rishonim. Yoshavta Eitzel Ha'even Ha'ozel. And you'll sit near the stone. Apparently there was a stone that the Mefarshim say that would guide people. You know, it was almost like a marker stone that would guide people where the path was and where to go. He says, I want you to go deep, deep into the forest. There's a stone in there, and you'll be by that stone. That's how I'll know that you're there. Right? Of course, we know that the that Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer wrote a sefer on the Rambam, and he titled it Evan Ha'ozel. I'm not sure why, but it's based on this pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Va'ani Shaloshes Hachitzim Tzida Ore L'Shalach Li L'Matara. And he says, here's what we're going to do. Here's the trick. And some of you may remember this from learning the last time you learned Shmuel Aleph. And he says, I'm going to take three arrows and I'm going to shoot them to the side, not exactly where you are, but off to the side a little bit, as if I'm shooting target practice, as if I'm taking target practice. Okay? And here's what we're going to do. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Bihinei Eshlach Es Hana'ar, I'm going to then send my servant, right? My youth, my lad, the fellow that's with me, that's helping me. And I'm going to send him to go get the arrows. And I'm going to tell him, Leich mitzah es achitzim. Go find the arrows that I just shot. Now, you know, it's hard to find arrows. He shot the arrows quite a distance. So, you know, the na'ar might know approximately where the arrows fell, but he's not going to know precisely where they fell. So he goes out and then he's going to look. And I'll guide him from where I am, and I'll tell him, you know, go a little further, come a little closer. And says the pasuk, says Yonasan, Imamor Omar la Na'ar Hine Achitzi Mimchava Haina. He says, if I tell the Na'ar, no, the arrows are closer, come closer, Mimchava Haina, come closer. So then, Kochenu Vavoa, so then you can come out of hiding and take the arrows and come, Ki Shalom Lacha. Because that will be my hint to you. That'll be the signal that my father's at peace with you. The Ein Davar Chai Hashem. And there's no problems, right? By the word of Hashem, there's no problems. There's no animosity between your father, between my father and between you. So that'll be the signal. If I send out the Nar and I tell him, no, the arrows are closer, come closer. That's my signal to you that it's time to come out of hiding because you're at peace with my father. Pasuk Chavbeis, Vimko Omar. But if I say the following, Lo Elem, to the Nar, Lo Elem is another word for the Nar, we'll talk about that in a second. Hine Achitzi Mimachava Hala, right? No, the arrows are further, right? You're not far enough. Go farther to find the arrows. So then, Leich, Kishilachacha Hashem. That's the signal that you should run. You should flee because Hashem is sending you away, meaning that Shaul hates you, he wants to kill you, and that's the signal that you should run away. Now, the Malbim points out, as only the Malbim can, that, you know, why does the Pasuk here change between Na'ar and Elam? It's the same thing. It's the same word. So use either Na'ar and Na'ar or Elam and Elam. Why do we change from Na'ar to Elam? Elam is a synonym for Na'ar. But why change the word in the next Pasuk? Maybe. I'm not sure offhand. Yeah. So why change the word? So the Malbim says that this is also a signal, because apparently the Elam, the word Elam was used to, you know what, one second, I just forgot exactly. Give me one second. One second. Okay. So he says, so the Malbim says, sorry, I just wanted to double check that. The Malbim says that the Elam refers to someone who has more strength and more Zrizus than Na'ar. Na'ar is a little bit less strength than Zrizus, and Elam is more strength than Zrizus. So Elam, it's like a double signal. I'm telling the Elam, right, who's the one who runs more, and I'm telling him, Mimechava Hala, that you should go, right? That the arrows are further. So that's a double signal that my father for sure, my father certainly hates you, wants to kill you, and you got to run, you have to get out. Na'ar and Mimechava Haina is a double signal that my father's at peace with you. Now the Pesukim are not clear, but the Malbim says, but if he would give only one, let's say he would say Elem and Mimechava Haina, or he would say Na'ar and Mimechava Hala, so he would mix and match the terminologies, so then that would be a question. Then that would indicate to David that he did the research, but he's not really sure, either because Shaul didn't respond positively or negatively, or Shaul didn't ask about it, and he's not sure what to make of it, right? So in those cases, if he says only one of the signals, that's a clue to David that we're still not sure, we're still undecided as to what Shaul's perspective is. But if we have the double negative, I'm sorry, the double positive, na'ar and mimachava hena, that means you can come out of hiding, you can come back, because Shaul is at peace. If we have the double negative, I call him an elem, and I say it's mimachava hala, that's a double negative, that means he hates you, he's at war with you, he wants to kill you, and you got to run. Pasuk chav gimel, v'hadavar asher dibarnu, ani va'ata, hinei Hashem beini uveinecha ad olam. And Yonasan says, and keep in mind that everything that we've spoken about today, right, this deal that we made, this bris, this covenant that we made, Hashem is witness to it. And Hashem is going to make sure that this covenant between me and between you remains forever. Okay? So we'll stop here for tonight after Perek, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And Amir Hashem will do the second half of the Perek next week, discussing exactly what happens with this Seuda. Amir Hashem next week, we'll be back on Monday night. Thank you all for being flexible and accommodating to Wednesday night. I had to pay a...